miracle today. So we'll be talking about some miracles, maybe, Lord. Let me stay in the miracle working business the Lord's in. I have my devotion of a morning. I always like to thank the Lord for salvation. Y'all have a devotion of a morning? You ever like to thank the Lord for salvation? And then all the aspects of salvation, I go through a long list of them. You know, you ever thank the Lord for the peace that you have because of salvation? Well, I tell you, we're living in a world that have a lot of unrest. Y'all know that there's some people that really are just in misery all the time. They don't know what peace is. But I thank the Lord for salvation and the peace that goes along with it. And always I thank you for forgiveness. I use up a lot of God's forgiveness. I'm glad you've got oceans of forgiveness because I use up a lot of God's forgiveness. And how about, are you content? Oh, Paul says, be content in whatever situation you're in. You know, that's great value. And I thank the Lord for that. And thank the Lord for the assurance in His Word of God that I am saved. And then I think about helping someone else that don't know this. Do you have anybody that you think about lost or saved? They don't have this peace and contentment, forgiveness that they need and everything. But you ever thought about helping someone else? How about helping others? I bet there's someone out there right now tonight that you could help be at church next Sunday where they might be able to get some peace of the Lord and hear the Word of God. That's what it's all about. Don't forget your devotion each day. You might miss your breakfast, but don't miss your devotion. I try to do that 7 days a week. It always helped me. Walking on the water. We're going to talk about some miracles now. The miracles. What is a miracle? A lot of people say, well, it's a miracle. We made it at church tonight, this, that, but talk about other miracles, miracle this, miracle that. But miracles are a supernatural intervening invention of God into His natural course. So it's not everything we say is a miracle, but these miracles He's talking about is supernatural miracles. We all know this story about Jesus Christ talking to Peter about walking on the water. But there's a lot for us to understand about it. There's 35 miracles just in the New Testament alone. So I hope we cover some of these. If the Lord let me work in this area. And by reading this tonight, I hope we learn how to walk on the water. Do you need a miracle tonight? Do you really need a miracle tonight? Well, these verses tells us how to walk on the water. I know exactly after I got through studying, I know how to walk on water. I'm good mind to go ahead and tell you, but I don't want you to wait on it. How to walk on water. It says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, and this is the story. And straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He just got through feeding 5,000 people, you know, with a little boy's lunch. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossing with waves, for the wind was contrarious. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." A short prayer, isn't it? And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt?" And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth thou art the Son of God." Let us pray. Father, again, we just want to thank you, Lord, this day. It's hard, Lord, to say we thank you, Lord, because you're so great and you're so merciful to us, and words cannot really show what we really mean in our heart. But Father, even by being in your presence here tonight, people turn aside from their weary day, Lord, and assembling here today in the name of Jesus Christ this night in your church, saying, Lord, they thank you. And this is the way that we thank you, because we come together as you have ordered us to come and commanded us to come. for us to come to worship. This is the way that we say thank you, Lord. So here this night, we thank you for everything when we offer up prayers and a song service tonight. And Father, just our voices, us all comes together and just honoring you and just praising you for what you are, what you mean to us, what you've done for us, what you're going to be doing for us up into the future. We thank you now for the answers prayer. We thank you, Lord, for the healing hand of Jesus Christ upon the ones we have prayed for. We just pray, God, to continuously bless those that we have on our prayer list in a way that, again, that your name might be glorified, even in a time of their miss, and all those lost of loved ones. Father, we know that life can come out of death, and Lord, we want to thank you and praise you here this night, and we thank you for all these many blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, we know the story is so familiar to us, but sometimes we forget about it. But his disciples, I like for us to look at the introduction part of it, you know, that you see a spiritual vacuum, because the disciples now, they had been with Jesus Christ a pretty good while at this time, and he performed miracles. He just got through performing a miracle of feeding all those people with a little boy's lunch. And after seeing that, after knowing what he'd done, the disciples, you know, they see all these miracles. And then they saw Jesus Christ, went up to the mountain to pray. They got in the ship like he told them to, and he sent the disciples away across the lake. And yet the storm come up, and they begin to worry about the storm. And that was a vacuum in their life because they had just got through with the miracles. And you see, the Lord reached down, you know, and just lift them up. And there's just a vacuum there. But how many times as we think about disciples, and how could they really be this way after seeing what Christ done for them and done for those people with a little boy's lunch? Now, how can they have such a spiritual vacuum in their life? But how about the time that you and I, that looked like we couldn't make it any further? I mean, looked like the world was just closing in on us, and God reached down and brought us out of whatever type of storm it was. You know, another storm brewed, and you forgot about that storm. Isn't that something, how we so easily forget about the storms that God brings us through whenever another storm comes in our life, and we go right back like the disciples, what they seen. They just such a spiritual vacuum. But you see, there were also a spiritual vision too. Now, Peter, he got to see something. He saw those old waves and the wind, and he saw the 5,000 fed and all these good things. But you see, he just forgot about the power of Jesus Christ, the power of heaven. And a lot of times, you know, our spiritual vision ain't too far. We forget about the power of Jesus Christ. Because you see, the Bible says that, you know, there's nothing impossible with God. But sometimes we go through some problems. It might be with your family. It might be with sickness, you know. It might be with your job. It might be with your health. It might be a lot of things. And you just feel like it could be the end. But there's nothing at the end, because Jesus Christ is always on the other side. But there's just that spiritual vision that we need. But that spiritual venture that sometimes we don't even want to get out of the ship, you know. Peter, but he did get out of the boat, and he committed himself to Jesus Christ. So in these verses of Scripture, it tells us, you know, that we need this spiritual vision to see what God, and the spiritual venture to see what God has got for us. He got out of the boat, and he committed himself to Jesus Christ. And I tell you, I think God's trying to tell all of us, you know what, we really need to get out of the boat sometimes and get going what God has called us to do in the mission field or whatever he has called us to do. There are a lot of missions that we need to work. We have a great mission in our homes. We have missions across the street. We have missions all around us. We got so many missions, because you look at these seats, and we was running 125 sometimes on Wednesday night, and now we're down to, we see what it is. There's a mission for us here at Pleasant Hill, and we need to get busy about our missions. Moses, you know, he sent those 12 people over, spies. There was 12 of them he sent over there on that mission. 10 of them says, you know, no, we can't do it. They might well give up. But old Caleb and Joshua, yeah, we can do it. Oh, Caleb, we find out later on, says, give me this mountain, after he was old, because he said, we can do it. You know, there's three type of people we have in our church, and there's three sitting here tonight, and all of us, you know, we may be in one or three of these areas. We're either an undertaker, you know what we do, we just sit around just kind of burying the dead. That's all we do. We just kind of bury the dead. Or the caretaker, we just maintain the status quo. Don't make no waves. We've never done lights before. Let's don't change. Let's don't do that. Just you know, that's the caretakers. And then you see there's the risk takers. We need to move out and do something different. Move out and do something different. It's about time that we do it. We've never done it this way before. Let's do something different, you see. Be in obedience. So as we see this, also there comes a victory in this. Peter looked at the waves, and you know what? He took his eyes off of Jesus Christ, and then he said, you know what? Lord, save me. When he took his eyes off of Jesus Christ, he began to sink. Now, Jesus Christ, you know that he worked these miracles. Jesus Christ and the disciples was in the ship, and one time in over in Luke, and it says, and he was in there with them, and he is in the ship asleep, and his disciples had saw a lot of miracles he had already done. But you see, they was afraid they was going to sink and they was going to drown. And he said, boy, don't you care for us? Don't you care? And he woke Jesus up. You know what? He says, peace, be still. And the waves, they just lay down like whipped puppies at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ now, in these verses of Scripture in Matthew, he went up to the mountain to pray, and he sent his disciples right straight into a storm across the sea. He knew there was a storm. He sent them right straight across the sea. Jesus Christ seemed like when in that storm, and he was nowhere to be seen. How about your life and my life sometimes? When you're going through some storms, you don't see Jesus nowhere. I wonder where he's at in this problem I'm having, this storm that I'm having. Where is he at? When you know he loves you, but you can't see him, and you know he cares for you because the Bible says he cares. But it seemed like the presence of Jesus Christ is just not with us. He just seemed not to be real. Sometimes, you know what, it's in sickness. Sometimes whenever it feels like the rug is just jerked out from under you and you have this dreaded disease, this dreaded sickness. Maybe it's some type of family trouble, and you know it's always around the corner. There's some type of trouble lurking. Maybe it's some job, and maybe we out of work, and where's Jesus Christ? And then you know what? When we have these problems, we have to learn to walk on the water. We have to learn to walk on the water. So I'd like for you to observe to start with the storm on the water. And verse 24 said, But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the waves was contrary. As we see this, the storm came down kind of suddenly for the disciples. And just like sometime you and I, you get along pretty good tonight, everything kind of okidori with you and everything. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know what's going to happen tomorrow? There was two wrecks that we just talked about tonight. You know, it could be your family tomorrow. It could be my family tomorrow. It might be you tomorrow. It might be me tomorrow. There's some people that got to go to the hospital. It might be me tomorrow. It might be you tomorrow. It might be some of your families. You know, it just seemed like it just all of a sudden when it happens, and you just, you know, it just come by ambush, and the disciples were just out of control. You know, it kind of ambushed them, and seemed like that way trouble does it sometimes. It just ambushes. That's the kind that really gets me. If I see something coming away off, it gives me time to kind of want to try to get in line to help myself. But boy, those storms by ambush, it really what knocks me down. I'm not prepared for them. And God said they're going to come anyway. I lose control. It's like this woman, she said, that talked to a friend. She said, I had a bad car accident. She said, I run off the road and run into a house and knocked the pillars down out of the house and run across a yard and knocked two or three trash cans over and back out on the street, hit two more cars, and then she said, I lost control. So sometimes you just lose control. But when do we lose control? You see, when do we really lose control? Situation that seems like sometimes they're just out of our control. And they hit you, man, they hit you, and you're not even prepared for it. And these storms comes, and you're not even prepared for it. It's what's going to happen. Maybe it's death, the phone call. It's death to some of your family. I will never forget, I was at the railroad on a working evening shift, and the supervisor come to me. He says, go to your mother's house. Now, I know that was mighty strange. How come he didn't say to go home or go to your daddy's house? He said, go to your mama's house. And all the way there, nobody had to tell me. I know there's something wrong with my daddy. I figured he had died. Before I ever got there, because they said, go to your mama's house. I mean, they're working, having a good time. You know how a job is, and reckon just like that. It hits you. I mean, it ambushes you, don't it? O'Keefe was there working on equipment. He just pulled a little wire out, and that wire hit him in the eye, Jimmy. He weren't prepared for it. That was an ambush. You know, it's a storm he had to go through. Look at all the sickness and all that people go through. Brother Robert, Donna. You know, it just kind of ambushes you, don't it? You're just not prepared for it. And you're out of control. You're just out of control. But you see, the storm was in the Lord's plan. The disciples, it hit them by ambush, but the storm was in the Lord's plan. You mean the Lord plans for us to have cancer? The Lord plans for us this and plan? Yes, it's in His plan. Nothing catches Him by surprise. Nothing excites heaven. Nothing excites heaven. Verse 22, and straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into the ship and go before Him and to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. Constrained them. You know what that means? Forced them. That means He compelled them. That made Him really go when they didn't really want to go. He sent them over there to go. Sometimes we these things happen to us. Well, they didn't really want to go. A little boy was late for his Boy Scout meeting, and the Scout Master said, "Why was you late?" He said, "Well, I had to help a little lady across the street." He said, "Well," Scout Master said, "Well, that should have made you late." The little boy said, "Well, she didn't want to go." So sometimes these things hits us, you know, and we just don't want to go, but the Lord, He's going to send us into these storms, and we don't want to go. I tell you what, I don't like pain, and I don't want to go sometimes. I don't want to go through these storms. And the disciples didn't want to go through these storms. But you see, they was in the Lord's plan. I don't want to go through these sickness. Brother Robert, did you want to go through that sickness? Brother Jimmy, you didn't want to do that operation, did you? You didn't want to do that. You wanted the Lord to just touch you. And he could have done that, but He wanted you to go through that. You didn't want to. They just didn't want to. Well, Jesus had several reasons probably for sending them across. But one thing, you know, they wanted the multitude was getting ready to make Jesus Christ the king and not the king He wanted to be. But you see that He just sent them away. And He sent them away as a test, you know, to bring out the best in them. The old devil sends us, temptation to bring out the worst in us. Sometimes God puts us in a test to get us away from temptation. Now, I don't know if you can figure that out or not, but He does. Maybe it's you're getting ready to be tempted some way. The Lord sends you a test. Maybe it's a sick child or something. That may be some of your sickness yourself. The Lord sends us to a storm that gets us ready also for the bigger storms. Lord, you mean to tell me I got bigger storms to go through? If you've ever been through a storm, God sent you through that storm because He's getting you ready for a bigger storm. Don't tell me that. Yeah. You know, we don't know what storm we're going to have to go through. Before y'all sung that song, Crossing Jordan, we don't know. We don't know what type of storm that we're going to have to go through. But the Lord's preparing us. The Lord's preparing us for these storms. Lord, how much bigger the storm going to be? Well, after Jesus Christ went to the cross and died, went back to heaven, did you know His disciples were persecuted and they was martyred and some of them was in prison? They went through some storm, but you see right here at this storm, they had some bigger storm to go through. Yeah, they had a storm of being persecuted. They had a storm of being murdered and killed and in jail and beaten and in prison. There's always some storm. Why are these storms in our life? Well, you know, because we learn some things about Jesus Christ and these storms that we can't learn no other way. Lord, don't let me miss my sorrows now and waste my sorrows. Tell me, help me. And you know, it might be years, and He keep on revealing things to you. You've been through some storms, and you know what? Some sickness and difficulties and death, and family. And Lord, 10 years later, because you've been through that, He should still be revealing things about Himself to you because of these storms. They're necessary. I don't like them, But thank the Lord, he's going to keep his hand on it, and he's going to help us. I don't like these storms, but you see, you learn things in these storms, you know. Bereavement. That storm of bereavement mentioned several people lost their loved ones, you see. But you see, you learn the Lord will comfort you. There's a comfort, and most of y'all have. I know it's been through some bereavements of your family, but you see, there's a comfort there that you can't describe. It happens no other time except in a time of bereavement. You can't explain it. It don't just come there on your everyday duty for the Lord, but there's some times that you have on bereavement that he comforts you that it's different than any other time. Lord led them disciples directly into the storm. And I tell you, sometimes, you know, there's some sickness, storm of sickness. And, you know, we're going to pray. We need to, because we don't know no different. But, you know, when someone gets sick, and let's pray for them to get well. But, you see, it might not be for the Lord's will for them to get well. Did y'all know that? The Lord sent that sickness there to teach you something. And there, we're going to pray for them. Yeah, the Lord don't want you to be sick. Yes, the Lord does want us to be sick sometimes. I guess the only thing I know how to pray is, done me, Lord, if thy will be done. That's all I know. That's all I know. Sometimes the Lord wants to show us something, show that person something through sickness. He can't show us no other way. I don't understand all about this. But I know the Lord wants me to be sick. I'm going to be sick until I learn that lesson. If you don't learn that lesson, he'll send you another one. He'll send you another one. Lord, he didn't send that storm to his disciples to take them under. As a lot of times it seemed like this storm is going to just overpower me and take me under. Those disciples thought they was going to go under. But you see, he sent that storm in their life to take them over. The Lord has not promised us a smooth journey as Christians. Did y'all know that? He had not promised us a smooth journey, but he has promised us a safe landing. That Jordan River. We cross that Jordan, a safe landing. But also we find out that the storm also was in his prayers. He was praying about disciples in the storm, Jesus Christ on the mountain praying. Man, ain't that something? That's awesome, isn't it? The knowledge of God. They was out in a storm. He was praying for them. He says, he ever lived, make intercession for us. No matter what we do or how we fail Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, he's always praying for us. Did y'all know that? Have you failed the Lord lately? Have you let the Lord down lately? Did you know he's in heaven praying for you regardless? A little boy misbehaved and mother said, all right, you got to go to bed early. So, okay, upstairs you go to bed early. She said, don't forget your good night prayers. Yes, ma'am. And he prayed for his daddy, and he prayed for his brother, and he prayed for his sister, and he prayed for his buddies. He prayed for his uncle, and he prayed for his grandfather. And then he said, amen. He turned out and looked at mom. He said, I guess you know that you weren't in it. You see, but Jesus don't do us like that, does he? I'm going to tell you, we might fail him, but you know what? He's still going to pray for us. We might fail, we may do things that really that hurts the Lord, but he's still going to pray for us. You and I can't understand that unconditional love of Jesus. We can't understand it. We can't understand it. It says also, the second thing, I like for you to observe the Savior on the water. In verse 25 it says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. All right, that's the fourth watch. That's 3:06 in the morning. That's the darkest time of the night, just for daylight, darkest time. We know that mankind is walking out of space, don't we? But nobody hadn't walked on the water but old Peter that we knew of. Only old Peter. Hebrews says, thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. The waves was over the head of the disciples, but I tell you what, they was under the feet of Jesus Christ. And all of our problems. I can tell you this, and I know this, and I believe this. All of our problems are under Jesus' feet, but how come I get disturbed when I have one of them? When it's me. When they got to rush me to the doctor. when I have the phone call, when I have problems. I know this, but yet what happens? Just like them disciples. Verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a spirit, it's a ghost. And they cried out with fear. It's a spirit. They couldn't believe it's a spirit, it's a ghost. You scared a ghost, two boys playing in the cemetery, it got kind of dark. One of them said, you believe in ghosts? Others said, no, I don't believe in them, but I'm scared of them. As a ghost, he said, that's what that word means. Now, the disciple thought the worst thing possible could happen to them right now, the worst thing, that storm. But you see, you think the worst thing can happen to you. When it does, that's not the worst thing. That's just a test. You know, sometimes you hear people testify. I've had several people told me that, you know what, it was a blessing that they had cancer. You think about that. I've had someone testify they was glad that they were sent to prison. They was glad they was in jail. Think about those storms. Think about those storms. Verse 27 says, but straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. When he said, it is I means that I am. Now, whenever I have these problems, now when you have these storms, Jesus Christ is saying, and this is an Old Testament word for Jehovah in the Bible. Jehovah means that I am. Remember Moses? Who shall I say sent me? Jehovah, I am. I'll be everything that you need to be. Whatever that you need, I am that. Any type of these gods that Moses come against, those 10 plagues, these 10 different gods of Egypt, he says, I am. He'll be right there. I'll be whatever you need. Anytime that you need me, I'll be there. That's what Jesus Christ said right here. It is I am. And Jesus Christ said, whenever you're going through these times, and we have these trials and tribulations and sorrow and difficulties and all these storms, Jesus Christ is saying to us, I am. I'll be whatever that you need any time that you need me. I come, I can't understand that. Lord, I can't understand that you said it was. How come I can't just relax and say, Lord, bring it on. I'll be whatever your storm requires, I'll be there. My storm. This thing we see, observe the saint on the water. In verse 28 it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. All right. Peter was that risk taker. I believe he had been an astronaut. I believe old Peter was, because he was a risk taker all the time. I remember one time on the news when they first started sending them people up in outer space. Kate Kennedy, this news reporter, asked one of them cadets, astronauts, well, they sent one or two up at a time, and the microphone right there says, how do you feel? And he said, I feel terrible. Feel terrible. Says, why? He said, I got 10,000 moving parts under me, and all of it was made by the lowest bidder. You'd feel bad too, wouldn't you? You'd feel bad too. Verse 28 said, and Peter answered and said, Lord, if thou bid me to come into the water. Peter, are you crazy? The rest of the disciples, are you crazy? Peter had a lot of faults. You know, he was a man that had a lot of faults and failures in the Bible. But I'm going to tell you, he loved Jesus Christ. And he didn't care if it was on the water or in the water. He wanted to be close to Jesus. You see, he got out of the boat several times. One time he walked on the water. Another time he got out and swam to Jesus Christ when he was on the land. You know why? Because he wanted to be close to Jesus. You know, the best place to be when you're having your storms, and you know what, most times this happens, you let somebody, they don't think they need the Lord, but you let something get wrong with them. That old heart, or you let somebody get wrong with them, they don't need the church, and they don't need people, and they don't need the Lord, they got to do it on their own, and let the old heart start skip a beat a little bit, and a pain or two run across her, let them get cast or something. You know what they want to be? They want to be close to the Lord, because that's the best place to be in the storm of life, is close to the Lord. And I tell you, when you lost loved ones, if they in Christ Jesus, if you want to be close to them, you need to be close to the Lord. That's where they're at. Verse 29 it says, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. How did he do it? How did he walk on the water? I'm going to tell you now. I'm going to say this to last. If you want to know how to walk on the water today and how Peter walked on the water, it's the same way for all of us. You know what he said? he asked Jesus, and Jesus said it's all right for him to do that. Now, if you want to walk on the water, you get permission from the Lord. He says it's all right, then you do it. That's the way that you walk on the water, whatever he tells you to do. Step out on the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. It works for your family, it works for your person, it works for your church. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink, and he cried, Lord, save me. Took his eyes off of Jesus on the storm. Verse 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, where did thou doubt? Why did you doubt? Fear, faith is different. Why did you doubt? Well, it'd been a good thing that Peter did begin to sink. Did you know it? It was real good, especially for the rest of the disciples. It was real good. Could you imagine if old Peter had not a sunk and walked right there on the water and walked all the way back and walked back and got into the ship? Thomas, I bet you ain't never done that. Thomas, you ain't never done that. Could you reckon he'd have been hard to live with, would he? The rest of the disciples would have a hard time to live with that rascal. But you see, he failed like all the rest of us. If that would have made him nothing but proud, it would have been a failure. It would have just been a failure. He would have been proud. I promise you'd never done that. You see, a defeat that leaves you humble is better than a victory that leaves you proud. You think about that. And then he said, Lord, save me. And I want to tell you, when the waves ceased, the worship started. And I want to tell you, that's when people start worshiping the Lord. They're going through the storm, but just as soon when the waves cease, I want to tell you, the worship will start. That old song that we sing, Love Lifted Me. That's the title that should have been of this message tonight. Love Lifted Me when I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Did the Lord reach down and he save you? You were sinking in sin, and the Lord saved me. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for the peace. I want to thank you for forgiveness. I want to thank you for the comfort. I want to thank you for the assurance that I know. They sung that song. One of these days, we're going to cross Jordan, but we're going to have to do it alone. Bless y'all tonight. Encourage someone to be with us Sunday. Call, there's a lot of people in this